The Jags come close again on Sunday, but the comeback falls just short.
It's getting annoying. It's a little aggravating. Let you know that we just can't finish.
A struggling offense kept the defense on the field, and the Jets' ground game took control in the second half.
We do pride ourselves in stopping the run first and foremost, and it has not helped us the last 2 weeks.
At 2-11, there isn't much left to play for, but the message on Sunday was clear.
Just keep fighting.
We're not giving up. We've got 3 more games. We're going to keep fighting.
This is Jaguars All Access.
Brought to you by EverBank, Jacksonville's home for banking, lending, and investing. Buy and sell Jaguars tickets at NFL.com/ticket exchange. Don't wait. Buyers get in and sellers get paid.
Gotta get points. Right there.
Stunning news from Jags headquarters. Mike Mularkey on the sideline Sunday and in the hospital for a good portion of the day today. The good news is Coach Mularkey has been released from Baptist Hospital. He should be at the facility on Tuesday and on the sidelines in Miami. That is the latest. Welcome to Jaguars All Access. I'm Brett Martineau alongside Jeff Lagerman. Before we get to our special guest, Jeff, concerning news initially about Coach, but it looks like it's going to be okay.
Well, the news is that he is home resting and that he is going to be back at work tomorrow. But, that's, I guess you could say, the stress of the head coaching job in the National Football League. But, it also kind of makes you kind of take a step back and realize what the priority should be.
No doubt about it, and I think Coach Mularkey knows that. Tonight, Wells Fargo welcomes our special guest, Jason Babin. He's only been a Jaguar for 2 weeks, but he made an impact on Sunday. Before we get to that impact and the game, let's talk about Coach for a moment, because you guys just found this out this morning as well. Kind of surprised everybody, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously the first thing you care about is Coach all right. It's being healthy goes above and beyond football.
And I like Mike. I mean, Mike is a real nice guy, and he's really even keeled. So to hear anything about, health issues, it's shocking with a head coach. But, you know the profession. It's not surprising.
Yeah, it's a lot of hours, a lot of stress. And, I wouldn't have guessed it either, but because I haven't heard him yell.
All right, well, let's take a look back at yesterday's game and take a look at the G-Series prime plays of the game.
Play number three sums up the season. What almost was good force fumble by Derek Cox turned into a Dwight Lowry touchdown just for a moment, Jeff.
Yeah, and Curley actually touched Dwight Lowry while he was down, and so the ball was brought back. And unfortunately, he didn't get any points out of this low-scoring game. You'd have liked to have gotten points.
Play number two, and you gotta love this. Montel Owens got his chance to run the football, and he did this 32-yard nifty run with a hurdle for a fourth-quarter touchdown.
I wish that he didn't have cramps and would have liked to have seen what he would have been able to do for an entire game, but big touchdown here because it brought it within seven.
Ran for 91 yards. And play number one, Jason Babin with the trifecta for a defender. Sack, force fumble, and the fumble recovery.
And Jason, you beat my Virginia guy, DeBrickashaw Ferguson, and you guys had a little fire zone on here. And when Brick, that's his nickname, the left tackle, sees a guy coming to the inside, he hesitates just slightly, and it was enough for you to get by.
Yeah, that's all I really needed. The linebacker was coming up there blitzing, and then you kind of saw him kind of pause and for a second, and just gave me just enough time to get on the edge of him.
Jason, this must feel good, too. You come to a new team 2 weeks, and you want to make an impact. They want you to make the impact, and that's your game right there. Speed rush, and you get it done.
Yeah, I can't complain about getting the opportunity to make that play. They expect me to make it, and hopefully I can make it many more times to come.
6.5 sacks on the year, first one as a Jaguar, and we've been able to watch – I have been able to watch some film on you from earlier this year, and I'm trying to think of the game. I think it was the Miami Dolphins maybe. You could have had 4 sacks in that game. Was that the one?
I think it might have been the Redskins.
The Redskins? It might have been the Redskins game. It was like, but, that's the life
of an
NFL pass rusher.
It seems like I've been so close so many times every game, and, that's the way it goes.
You have to remember, too, they only had about 19 opportunities to get to Mark Sanchez on Sunday. Time for our Xfinity speed play of the game. The Jets had just 67 yards passing until this play with 3 minutes to go. 38-yard pickup changed field position for the Jags' final drive.
Well, and this is when you guys are defensively, Jason, are trying to get the ball back, and you were eventually able to stop them. But that play right there obviously kind of made it tougher on your offense. A little longer field to drive. It took about an additional minute off of the clock, and that's when what you want to do is try to get it back quickly, though, to your offense. And there it is, right down the middle, to Cathy. There's the tight end, Cumberland. And Jason, as a defender, I was impressed with how you guys responded, because in the third quarter, things didn't go very well, stopping the run. But in the fourth quarter, you guys were able to do that at a very high level. What was the difference between the third and the fourth quarter?
Well, they did something a little new. You know, they were bringing, pulling two guys and three guys, you know, inserting them in the line of scrimmage. And, you know, once we figured out what they were doing, you know, because when the gaps move, your responsibilities move, I figured out what they were doing. We were able to put something together and get a stop.
And the numbers got too big. 232 yards against the Bills, 160 against the Jets. But
this was very, very different here, though, what you're talking about, because most teams that run what they call a load formation, where they have a tight end on one side and then there's an additional two tight ends that are off the ball and to the same side. Most teams run the outside play, but they were actually running almost like a counter tray trap to the inside. It was very different. You ever seen that play?
No, I'd never seen it before. And yeah. Thankfully, we had new personnel, which were called heavy. We had five defensive linemen in, you know, they had the 63 at tight end and both the tight ends in the game. So we had a good matchup for it.
And can you talk about that a little more? Because in the first half, that worked, right?
Yeah, I mean, we
you guys had that game planned all week long.
We hadn't showed it before, and it was something new. So it was a surprise to Rex, and Rex's triple insert was a surprise for us.
And you guys defensively were able to get the ball back to the offense. You ended up stopping them. And at the end of the game there, you had a chance. I mean, your offense had a chance. Chad Henne ends up dropping back. And unfortunately, a guy ended up getting pressure. I mean, that's what you'd like to see out of your defensive lineman, not necessarily the opponents, though.
Yeah, it's difficult. But, you know, we were trying to the best we could to get the offense another shot at getting some points on the board.
And talk about the mood on the sidelines here, because one thing about this team, they're 2-11 now, but you have to praise the coaching staff and the players, really, for the effort in keeping that even-keel approach. Do you sense that? I mean, you're new to this team, but are you surprised at how, you know, on point they are despite being 2-11
guys are? It's really surprising because you see a 2-11 team, you know, and like I said when I first got here, the way they practice, the way they go through business, the way they're, you know, professional, the way they're all game long. You know, you can tell they're all in. So it's, you know, it's something good you can see that, you know, can be built upon.
Kind of a funny moment at the end of the game. I met you for the first time after the game yesterday. And Jordan Palmer walks up and he wants to talk a little hunting with me. And so it's the first time you met Jordan Palmer. I mean,
it's kind of crazy,
isn't it?
Yeah, and I end up going to eat with dinner with him and his wife and some other fellows. So it's, you know, it's good people here.
We're seeing some video of you, and what we've noticed about you on the sideline is you're really trying to bend some guys' ear about what's going on. Is that what you normally would do, or is it because this is a new team and some new things and you're still trying to study up on some things?
Oh, no, I just can't sit still. I get all, I get pretty worked up and pretty emotional during the game. And, you know, I just can't sit still.
They don't want you to sit still.
I will say this. I love the way you play the game. You know, there's a lot of guys that are former players and current players that really appreciate watching film. Where does that relentless effort style come from?
I think it's just it's been part of my journey, you know, because things haven't always worked out the way I'd wanted them to or the way I envisioned them. So just knowing I got to fight every play, it's kind of become my personality.
We're going to talk more about that personality and your career coming up a little bit later on. But right now, it's trivia time as we head for our first time out here on Jaguars All Access. Here is tonight's question. Jason Babin is a native of Kalamazoo, Michigan. What future Hall of Fame shortstop also hails from Kalamazoo? If you think you know the answer, email us at triviamail@jaguars.com, and you could win a $100 gift certificate from fanatics.com.
Still ahead on Jaguars All Access, we're taking you inside the game at the Baptist Health Smart Board with Jeff. And senior writer John Osier weighs in on why it's too early to look at the draft. Plus, we're going inside the Jaguars' locker room after Sunday's loss. But first, here are your Southern Ford dealers' sounds of the game.
That's cold dust. Pride in your performance and pride in your name and what you do.
Send them jets.
Lock out.
On a flight back to New York.
Time to eat.
Do it for me. Do it for him.
You can feel Russell getting pushed, run a natural game.
They come around to Rickershaw Ferguson. There's a fumble on the play. Jason Babin was the nut to not get away, and that is a fumble.
Oh, this doesn't begin. It's going to be a sack.
That's why.
Great job, man.
He's right here with Curley, and they bring it in. He fumbled the ball, and it's recovered by Jacksonville.
Great job, man.
Here comes Owens, a block from Elliott. He finds finds room, and he's in for the touchdown. A 32-yard touchdown run by Owens. 15, and he's got Shipley with a big-time catch. That's curtains for Jacksonville and a win for Rex Ryan and the New York Jets.
This is Jaguars All Access. This is Jaguars All Access. Brought to you by Gate and by Everbank, Jacksonville's home for banking, lending, and investing.
Holiday packs are still available for the Jaguars' final home game against the New England Patriots on December 23rd. One more game at Everbank Field. Just log on to Jaguars.com or call the ticketing office at 904-633-2000. Welcome back to Jaguars All Access. Jason Babin will rejoin us in just a moment. But right now it's time to go inside the film room with Jeff Lagerman and the Baptist Health Smart Board. Time to break down number 58, Jeff.
Well, and I got a couple plays to show you with Jason as a defensive end, and I talked about the relentless style of play, and this is a perfect example of that. Here's Jason is at the left defensive end spot, and a nice job of awareness on the play because he's pass rushing. That's his mindset. And when the tackle doesn't set to him, he shuffles his feet, and he knows something's up. And then he has great effort pursuing the throw to the outside and making a physical play and a tackle on the outside and throws the guy down. I love that style of play. Here's the trifecta, as Brent called it, and here he is as a right defensive end working against a Brickashaw Ferguson. Watch Brickashaw take a peek at Mike Harris blitzing, and when he does, that's all Jason needed. Great get off with the snap of the ball. Nice job of getting the hand down and coming low and bending around the corner. Now, if he doesn't make this play, take a look at who's coming open for the New York Jets. The Jaguars in that fire zone. Mark Sanchez has an option there, so it's fortunate that Jason ends up making this big play. They always talk about pass rush and coverage working hand-in-hand. That's a prime example. Now stopping the run and the new look that the Jaguars saw against the New York Jets. Here's that look. One tight end, and then you also have two others lined up to the outside. And in a unique play, because they pull a guy around to the inside and then another guy to the inside. And what does this do? It stresses the fit of the defense. Because look what happens. Once you get these guys to the inside, now that you have one guy there and one guy there, you actually have one, two, three new gaps to fit. And if it's something that you haven't seen, it takes a little bit of adjustment. And the Jets were successful at doing that. Now, the Jaguars offense certainly had some opportunities at making plays. And in the third quarter, they struggled. And they struggled on first and second down. And when they got to third down, they were in third and very long. And when you get to third and long against the New York Jets, they bring out all kinds of craziness with a package. This play right here is a third and 10. Chad Henne backed up in the south end zone. And this really is more of a traditional front for the New York Jets. But here's the thing. They end up bringing six. One, two, three, four, five, six guys. This is a blitz pressure. And what they do is they cross the four guys in the middle, and then all of a sudden you get guys getting lost. But the problem is you have Bart Scott free, big number 96, Muhammad Wilkerson getting free, and then also David Harris getting free to the outside. So you have three guys end up winning one-on-one opportunities, and there's nowhere for Chad Henne to go. If you had had more success on first and second down and weren't in third and 10, you probably wouldn't have seen that type of look. Early in the ball game, I love this play designed by the Jaguars offense. That's Cameron Bradfield as a tight end, and he's covered up to the outside, so he's ineligible. Because he's ineligible, it makes Guy Wimper, the right tackle, eligible. This was the pass completion to Guy Wimper. Nice job by Guy Wimper of selling the block, the down block, and then the bootleg by Chad Henne. Look at this catch. Behind Guy Wimper and athletic enough to make it. Makes a move on the defender, cuts back to the inside. But what I didn't like here, here's an offensive lineman. He just caught a pass. Where's the excitement? I want to see some guys running up to him saying, hey, great job. And Brent, you know, when you start seeing excitement when an offensive lineman catches a pass in a ball game, that's what it's all about. All right, let's go inside the locker room and listen to what the Jaguars had to say after yesterday's game.
It's getting annoying. It's a little aggravating that you know that we just can't finish. You know, we practice hard. We prepare, and I just don't know why it's happening like this.
It's the story of the year, but we've got three more games. We're going to keep fighting. Something good is going to come out of this.
This is Jaguars All Access. This health tip is brought to you by Florida Blue.
Hi, I'm Uche Wanneri, offensive lineman for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Eat like the pros. Choose a healthy snack as an alternative to sweets and junk food.
Florida Blue, in the pursuit of health.
Welcome back to Jaguars All Access. Quick reminder here, fans, don't forget to use your rewards and Teal deals at EverBank Field on game day and online. For more information, head to Jaguars.com. You get some good stuff there. Now let's bring it back out here with Jason Babin and, of course, Jeff Logman. Fun to listen to these guys talking break.
We're talking football.
I know. Man. What are you talking about?
I'm just trying to learn as much as I can. Soak it all in. They'll probably be talking hunting in a little bit, too. Yeah. So we'll get to that. But let's talk more football about your career. Interesting career. 32 years old. The last few years, boy, you've been on fire. Two Pro Bowls. And what took so long?
What took so long, Jason?
It's easy for me to say, right?
You know, in hindsight, it was a little bit of, I got drafted to play outside linebacker, which, you know, I didn't play in college. I played defensive end, so I kind of got stuck in that role. And then there was a couple years where I honestly just didn't play. I was on the team, I was in Seattle and didn't play. And then, once I really met up with Coach Wash and got an opportunity really to have a chance at being a starter and play defensive end at kind of my natural role, you know, the attack style. That's when things really clicked. It was, you know, just the way it goes. Just kept fighting, kept working, and finally happened for me.
Well, you've had a lot of bags packed. I mean, really, I'm looking at the list here because, you know, you started obviously with the Houston Texans, then you went to Seattle and said you didn't play much. Then you went to Kansas City. Then you went to Philly. Then you went to Tennessee, and that's where you're talking about Wash. That's Coach Jim Washburn, one of the best defensive linemen in the business. Then you go to Philly. Now you're in Jacksonville. I mean,
wow.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I'm just thankful I get to, you know, play and have the opportunity to play football and can't beat it.
You did say one thing, too, to us when you first got here, is that you didn't play for 3.5 years, so you're a young 32. You think you're still in your prime,
yeah,
which is a good thing. I mean, you feel great.
Yeah, I feel good, knock on wood. I haven't had any injuries and, had a couple years on the sideline, so. You know, I'm really around 27 and a half, I think.
Yeah, the mileage is low, right?
That's right.
All right, so my old teammate that played here for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Joel Schmange, Western Michigan, just like
that's right.
You.
There's not a lot of us.
No, there's not. A Western Michigan Bronco, there he is, number 99. And I actually today went and looked at the Western Michigan Broncos website to see what the records were. Schmange had the tackle for loss records and the sacks record until you came along.
Yeah.
Did you hear of him?
I mean, pictures of him around the building, and I saw his names in the record book. So I don't know him, you know, personally, but I saw his stats.
And you have to say it, Joel Schmange, right?
Well, it's tackle made by Joel Schmange.
That's how you used to say it. Yeah. Hey, one of Jason Babin fan club.
Yeah.
You like to give back, and this is part of it. Where did this originate, and what goes on with it?
Well, it was really my cousin Kevin's idea. Just a fun way to, you know, kind of give back to the fans, interact with them, and, you know, just do some fun stuff.
Oh, that's good. And I know you're a big part of Wounded Warriors as well. And look, Pawpaw,
that's my town I grew up in, Pawpaw, Michigan. We got a Pop Warner football there. It's a 501c3. You know, the kids will pay for anything. And we always try to do a project every off season. You know, this year we got them a sprinkler system. You know, I get them Under Armour gear for the kids. They don't have to pay for anything.
That's good stuff. Good job. Keep doing that, and hopefully you'll be doing that here in Jacksonville for a while. For appearing on tonight's show, you're going to receive a limited edition Bueller Swiss watch. Bueller Swiss watches are the official watch of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they're available at fine jewelers throughout Northeast Florida. So much more to come here on Jaguars All Access with Jason Babin and Jeff Logman. We'll hear from Jaguars.com senior writer John Hosier. What does he have in store this week? Plus the images of the week coming up next.
This is Jaguars All Access.
Welcome back to Jaguars All Access. All last year, we had guests as part of the Florida Dairy Council's Fuel Up the Play 60 program. No kids tonight, but stay tuned for our special guests as we wrap up the season here in this month of December. Time to get in the zone. John Hosier came to work today with a lot of props. It's kind of his thing. What will he do this week? Time to find out in the CBest Ozone.
I'm John Hosier for Jaguars All Access, here with tonight's Ozone Question. And Cam from Greenwood, Indiana writes, John, two questions. First, at 2-11... should we be worrying about draft positioning? Secondly, you've done a lot of gimmicks in the Ozone this year. Anything upcoming? Christmas, maybe? Well, first on the draft, no, no, no. I get that the draft is huge. I get that it's a year-round topic. And I get that it's tempting to say, play for the number one pick. but you can't play for draft position. In any year, it's too uncertain. There are as many guys like this, this, and this, as there are this, this, and this. And this year, there really doesn't seem to be a this, this, or this. Guys you just know are franchise changers. This year, early reports are, there's not much difference between pick 1 and pick 8. But even if there were, I can't get behind playing for draft picks. That means playing to lose. And that's not pro football. So for now, if you're a Jags fan, don't think about this guy or that guy. Stay behind these guys, even if that's a tough place to be right now. With time, the draft will take care of itself. And as far as the gimmicks, well, I'd like to think in time I can move beyond that and display the dignity Lagerman and Martineau deserve. But as you said, it's Christmas. So maybe we'll just let dignity wait a while.
That guy's got a lot going on upstairs, doesn't he? Time again for the G-Series Prime Headlines. The Jags will make the short trip down to Miami on Sunday. A chance to face another rookie quarterback in Ryan Tannehill. And what's the future for our guest in Jacksonville? And our guest here on Jaguars All Access is Jason Bell.
And Jason, what do you think? You know, obviously contractually you're obligated one more year after this year. And then after that you have the ability to be free.
You know, I actually didn't know the technicality, to be honest with you.
I didn't either.
That's right.
Until
for a while,
you came along.
Well, I've been so busy. I've been trying to play catch up on the terminology and, you know, learn how everything is done here and, you know, just kind of fall into place.
I mean this in a good way, too. You have an edge to you, your personality, the way you play the game. I think it's something the Jaguars could use. It's a great locker room. Where did you get the edge?
I think, like I said, you know, it's just been my struggles. You know, people tell me you can't do this or we're going to have to let you go or, you know, turn your playbook in. It, you know, puts a chip on your shoulder.
Jason Babin, thanks a
lot
for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Of course, for Jeff Lagerman, John Osier. That's Jaguars All Access. I'm Brent Martineau. Have a super week, everybody. And we'll see you Sunday from Miami. Good night.